This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Some of you know that Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that God will supply all our needs? All right. Now let me tell you something. You can believe that and never get your needs met. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. How many of you believe that God can feed you when you're hungry? How many of you believe that God can take care of you even in drought time or when there's famine? Amen? But do you know you can believe that and starve? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Anybody believe that? Amen. Now let me tell you something. You can believe that and go straight to hell. Do you know that if we were to walk out of here today, in our going door to door, we've been doing a survey. If we were to walk out of here today, walk down these streets in Harrisburg and ask every person we met, do you believe what it says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life? If we were to walk out of here and ask everybody that we meet if they believe that, many would. They'd say, I believe it. They'd say, I believe it, and then turn around and continue in their lifestyle that denies it. You see, you can believe the way we use that term believe in English and it not make any difference at all in your life. So the first thing I want us to do today is to begin to understand what this word believe is all about. Let me give you a definition from the dictionary. It says belief implies mental acceptance of something as true, based on reasoning, prejudice, or the authority of the source. And the key term in that is mental acceptance. When we use that word, that term in English, that says, I believe, what we're talking about is, I agree in my mind. It's true. How many of you believe that India exists? The only reason you believe it is what? Somebody told you that, right? You saw it on TV. Now, suppose we were to go home today and we turn on our TV sets and it says, newsflash, it has been revealed, India is a hoax, it never existed. What would you do? You turn to your wife or your husband and you say, boy, you know, that's interesting that that was a hoax. What are we having for dinner? The fact that India doesn't exist, or the fact that it does exist, you believe it, but what difference does it make to you? See, that's what belief is. It's something that's up here in your head that says, I agree with that, but it does not necessarily make a difference in your life. And that's why you can believe everything that the scripture tells us about Jesus. You can believe it and it not do a thing for you. Go look at James chapter 2, verse 17. Let me show you the difference, the Bible difference, between our concept of belief and what the Bible calls faith, which is the key to getting anything done in the kingdom of God. Because the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if we're going to be able to navigate in the kingdom of God and see God begin to work in our lives and do the things for us that we desperately want him to do, it's going to be on the basis of faith. But so many of us, Christians and non-Christians alike, have gotten mixed up between belief and faith. And the two are not the same. James chapter 2, verse 17. Look at this. Here's the difference. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith by itself, without works, the scripture says, is dead. What does it mean? If it's only up here, if it's only something that's in your mind where you agree, but you do not put it into action in your life, then that is not true biblical faith. That's something that's dead. Because if there's no action that corresponds to what you say you believe, then your faith has no effect. It has no impact on your life. Faith is not passive. It is always active. Belief can be simply passive. I believe in India, or if tomorrow I don't believe in India, it makes no difference. But faith is active. If your faith changes, your life changes. And what we want to do today is to begin to understand how we can operate not in just belief, but in faith. Because faith is the key to seeing God work in our lives. Now, we looked at a woman this morning from Mark chapter 5, who had to discover how to operate in faith. This woman, for 12 years, had a problem that dominated her life. She had a continuing flow of blood from her body over a 12-year period. This was a life-dominating problem in this woman's life. And she did everything she could possibly do. It says for 12 years, she went to every physician she could find, tried every remedy she could find. This woman had done everything humanly possible. Isn't that what we do when we have a problem in our lives? Don't we do everything that's humanly possible? When this episode was over, and Jesus knew that she had touched him and had been healed, he turned around and looked for her, and the scripture says she told him everything. So she told him about the 12 years, and she told him about how hard it was. She told him about losing everything that she had. She told him all of that. But you know the one thing that the scripture doesn't talk about that she said to him? Doesn't talk about how she cried out to God. Did you notice that? It didn't say anything about how in those 12 years she went into fasting and prayer and she called upon the name of the God who said in the Old Testament, I am the God who heals you. Who said in Psalm 103, just as I forgive all of your iniquities, I heal all of your diseases. It didn't say that she called upon his name in such a way that she felt it was significant enough to tell Jesus, I've been calling on the name of the Lord for the last 12 years. Think back to the last time you went to the hospital. The doctor said, get this prescription, you went and got it. Said, take it every day, you took it every day. He said, don't skip any days and don't stop taking it until you finish the whole bottle, even though you feel better. And you did it all. Everything that was humanly possible. But here's the question. Before you did everything that was humanly possible, did you call on the one who is beyond what is possible for human beings? Did you call on him? Did you go to the Word of God and say, Lord, now the doctor has given me his instructions. Here it is, right on this little thing. It says, do this and this and this. I'm going to do everything he said. But you know what? I want to know what your instructions are. And everything you tell me, I'm going to do it. This and this and this and this. Because I know you see what doctors cannot see. You can do what doctors cannot do. You have understanding of my situation that doctors do not have. And therefore, if I'm going to do everything the doctor tells me, for sure, I'm going to do everything you tell me. How many of us went through that process? You see, this woman did everything humanly possible, but what the scripture doesn't tell us is that she did everything spiritually possible during those 12 years. But finally, her day came. Finally, Jesus came to town. And everything changed in this woman's life. This woman heard about Jesus, heard that he's a healer, heard that he can do what no physician can do. And she went and she said, if I just touch just the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she touched him and immediately it says power flowed out of him. And she felt it in her body. She was healed. And look at what Jesus said when he talked to her. Look at verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus said the thing that changed after 12 years of futility, the thing that happened in her life that changed her life completely, that healed her where she wasn't able to get healed before, was somehow she learned to operate in faith. And it was her faith that healed her. What we want to do today, what we need to do today, is to understand how to operate in a faith that works. So it's not just belief, it's not just to appear, but it's the kind of faith that God responds to and will do things in our lives because we're faith-filled. Let's look at what happened. Let's look at the sequence of events. The first thing that happened in this woman's life that changed her life, she heard the word about Jesus. She heard about this Jesus. Jesus had been preaching and Jesus had been healing people. The sick would come to him and he'd heal them all. People who were demon possessed would come and he'd cast out the demon. And the word got around. She heard the word. She heard the story. And she understood, if this is true, then God has visited us and I can be healed. She heard the story, she heard the word, and she believed the word. Understand, the foundation of your faith is the word. The foundation of faith has to be the word. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How many of you would like to have $1 million? Now, if you would like to have $1 million, do you believe that you could pray and have faith that God is going to give you $1 million? That when you go home, there'll be an envelope under your door and you'll open it up and there'll be a cashier's check for $1 million in that envelope. How many of you believe that you can set your faith right now and see that happen when you go home? Now understand this. We can wish for $1 million. We can even have all kinds of reasons why we think the Lord ought to entrust us with $1 million. But the only basis that we would have for having faith that God is going to give us $1 million would be because he said it where? In his word. You can't just make up your mind, I think I'm going to believe for $1 million under my door today, and it's going to be there. God never promised that. What did he say? His word is his bond. And everything he promised in his word, you can count on. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. Your faith has to be based upon God's word. That's what happened in this woman's life. She heard the word about Jesus. And she believed it. And because that word was true, it was the foundation for a faith that works, a foundation for a faith that could change her life. God has only obligated himself to fulfill his word. He hasn't obligated himself to fulfill what we might like for him to do, but he's obligated himself to fulfill his word. Any of you have ever signed a contract for maybe a house or leasing a car, or buying a car, or something like that? Usually a contract will say something like this somewhere in there. All of the elements of this contract are written here. No other agreements, expressed or implied, are binding. In other words, you need to know this. Whatever that salesman told you, if it's not written in the contract, forget it. All those promises he made to you about how long this thing would last or how good it was going to be and it would never break down and you can bring it back if it does, if it's not written there, it's null and void. Well, God is not a lawyer, but that's the way he works. The only thing he's committed himself to is what's written in the contract, what's written in the covenant, what's written in the word. And that's why the first step in having a faith that can change your life, you got to know the word. Amen. You have to know what the word says. You've got to have an accurate picture of what God has promised in his word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, I'll just share it with you. It says, be diligent, or as the King James says, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, if you're going to have the kind of faith that can move mountains in your life, that can turn around an impossible situation, it's going to be on the basis of what God has said in his word, and you need to have an accurate understanding. Suppose I told you, that tomorrow morning between 9 and 9:15, a radio station down in Lancaster is doing a promotion, and they're going to be giving away $100 bills to anybody who shows up between 9 and 9:15 at 104 North Queen Street. Now, suppose, first of all, you heard that, and second of all, you believed it. What would it take for you to get your $100? Think about it. Number one, you heard it, but you'd better have heard it accurately. Amen? I said 104 North Queen Street. Suppose you went to 104 North Prince Street. I don't even know if there's a North Prince Street. But suppose you went to Prince Street, and you knocked on the door and said, "Here I am, where's my $100? And you hear a voice go, "Honey, call the police, we got a kook here." Why? You weren't accurate. You got the gist of it, but you didn't get it quite right. Suppose you got the time wrong. Guess what? You don't get your $100. You miss it. You see, the scripture says that we need to study. We need to be diligent if we're going to show ourselves approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. If we're not accurate, if we're not diligent in our study of the word, we can miss because our foundation will not be sure. She said, "If only I may touch his clothes, then I will be made well." You know what she was doing? She was taking the word that she'd heard, that Jesus is a healer. Everybody who comes to him, he reaches out and touches them, and they are healed of whatever afflicts them. She took that word that was about everybody, and you know what she did with it? She personalized it to herself. She took this thing about everybody or anybody who goes to Jesus, and she turned it around and said, "Well, that means me. That means I can go to him. I can put myself in this situation. And therefore, if I will touch his clothes, then I believe I will be healed." Here's the thing that happens to us as Christians many times. We read the word of God and we read the promises that God has made in his word. And we agree. He has said, "I will provide all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's a wonderful promise that God has made. But you know where we fall short? We never get to the point of personalizing it. God made that promise, yes. You know what that means? It means that he will provide all of my need. Oh, my need. That means I don't have to worry. That means I don't have to be wondering where the next bill is going to get paid from. Because God has made the promise that he will supply my need, not just your need, not just the congregation's need, not just Christians' need or believers' need, but my need. Number three, look at this. Also in verse 28. "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She not only personalized the word, but she began to confess the word. She began to speak the word. How many of you have gone through a difficult situation in the last month of any kind? Some kind of difficult situation in the last month. Amen. Now, if I were at work with you, listening to you on your lunch hour, say, and you were talking about your situation, tell me what I would hear. Would I be hearing, "Well, you know what, this is a difficult situation, but my God has said that he's going to be with me in every situation. And in fact, he said that in every trial I go through, he is faithful to make a way of escape, that I may be able to bear it. And in fact, he said in Romans 8:28, that he's going to make sure that all things work together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose." And I tell you what, I love him. And I know I'm called according to his purpose. So that means that even this situation I'm having to go through right now, which is difficult and tough, God's going to turn it to my good in some way. And therefore, instead of being all upset and down and depressed about it, hallelujah, Lord, I'm praising you. Because I know you're going to take this situation and turn it to my good. How many of you, is that what I would have been hearing when you were talking about your situation this past month? This woman, instead of confessing how bad the situation was, how hopeless and depressed she was because of what was happening to her, she confessed the word of God. She said what was coming out of her mouth was, "If I will just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. It's been 12 years. And in that 12 years, I tried everything else. But here's my confession. If I touch the hem of this Jesus garment, I'm going to be healed." She confessed the word. Number four, again in verse 28. "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes."
I shall be made well. You know what she was doing? She was making a plan of attack. She had the word. She had the promises that God had made. And now she decided, how am I going to go about implementing the promises that God has made in my life? She had a plan. Catch it. Suppose she'd gone through all of this. I hear it. I believe it. I confess it. I personalize it. But she never did anything about it. Suppose she just stood there and said, you know, I really believe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. But what would have happened? It would have been another 12 years, another 24 years, and she still wouldn't have been healed. You see, she had to take the word and then from that word, take a plan of attack that says, this is what I'm going to do to implement this in my life. Go over to James chapter 1. When you have a problem in your life that you don't know how to deal with, you know what one of the first things you need is? Look at this. James 1, starting with verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, when I read that word wisdom, what I see? God, what is my plan? What is it that I need to do to respond to this situation that's going to allow you to pour your power into this situation in my life? For example, you're praying, oh Lord, Lord, the rent is due tomorrow and I don't have it. Lord, what is my plan? What am I going to do? And somehow you get the impression, you open up the Word of God and you read that if you want to have your prayers answered, first thing you'd better do is forgive anybody that you're holding a grudge against. And you know, you've been praying for the last 2 months and you've been just down on your knees and you've been crying out to God and screaming out to God, but you know what? You never fulfill the condition that God set down. You've been holding on to that grudge the whole time. In fact, you're saying, it's her fault that I'm in this mess. I wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for her. God, help me, get me through this. And oh Lord, give her what she deserves too. And all the while, God has said, you need a scriptural plan. Because there are conditions you need to meet. I'm not going to honor your unbelief, and I'm not going to honor your unforgiveness, and I'm not going to honor your continuing to hold a grudge. No, the word has already told us that that won't work. So again, we have to go back to the scripture and say, Lord, show me the steps that I need to take. For example, look at what we just looked at in James chapter 1, verse 5. Suppose what we need is wisdom. What kind of plan would we have? Well, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So obviously, part of that plan is we have to specifically ask. What does the scripture say? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. So it tells us that part of our plan of attack is we have to actually get down on our knees and ask God for wisdom. Look at verse 6. But let him ask how? In faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed like by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, it gives you a plan right there. If what you need is wisdom from God, what you need to do is, number one, you've got to ask. You can't just say, I need wisdom, and God said he'll give me wisdom, so I'm going to get wisdom. Oh, it said, ask. But then it secondly said what? Got to ask in faith and without doubting. And so you need to think it through. God has promised he'll give me wisdom. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know whether it'll be a handwriting on the wall or whether he'll speak to my heart. Whatever it is, he's made the promise. I'll have wisdom. It may be he speaks through a friend. But I know that he'll fulfill his promise. And therefore, when I ask him, I do it in faith. And I don't doubt. It's going to come. God is going to get it to me because he promised. You're asking in faith. You see, that's a simple plan. But if you don't take those steps, you have no complaint if God does not give you wisdom. No complaint. Because you didn't do what you needed to do. So, she formulated a plan based upon the word of God. Number 5. The fifth thing that she did, after all that, she finally took action. She actually went up to him and touched the hem of his garment. Now remember, by the law, she was not supposed to do that. By the law, she, by touching him, made him unclean. This is Jesus. She would have made him unclean. So it took something for her to go up and actually touch him. But she understood, if I do not put my plan into action, after all the rest of it, hearing the word and believing the word and confessing the word, personalizing the word, coming up with a plan of action based upon the word, if I don't finally actually follow through and do what I need to do, none of it matters. None of it works. Faith is always active and never passive. If it's just an idea of sitting back and saying, I believe, that's just belief. But if we're going to see God work in our lives, it's going to be because we actually take the word of God, find out the promises that God has made in that word that apply to the situation that we are in, and then put together a plan of action based upon this word that allows us to apply that word and those promises to our particular situation. And if we ever just sit back and say, I believe, but I do not act, don't complain if God doesn't seem to come through. The thing that fascinates me about this woman's story, she went up to Jesus and she touched him. And it says Jesus immediately felt that power flowed out of him. And he turned around and he said, who touched me? And all of the disciples said, Lord, what are you talking about? Who touched you? All of these people around you, thronging you, touching you. The whole crowd was reaching out to touch him. But do you catch what happened? When she touched him with a touch of faith, the power flowed. He didn't even know she was there. But when she touched him with the touch of faith, the power flowed. Now understand, there were other people in that crowd who needed to be healed. There were other people in that crowd with situations just as bad or worse than hers. And they were touching and pawing him, but because they did not touch with that touch of active faith based upon the word, God's word, because that was not their touch, nothing happened. And that's why, as we said in the beginning, you can believe up here everything that this word says, but until you complete the circuit, that's what happened. It was like completing an electrical circuit, and the power flowed the moment that circuit was complete. Until you complete the circuit through not just belief, but faith that takes action, you'll never see the power flow.